Living the Word today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make sure, let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Julie and I are at this stage of life where we live through that with our kids, and then you have this bit of reprieve, and then now you have grandkids coming in. And it's amazing. We had eight of them at the same time a couple weeks ago, and it's the reality that you can have a completely organized, clean room within 6 seconds. Boom! It's just like they explode all over the place. So thank you for your service, and thank you for serving. Today we want to talk about kids. Seems appropriate for today, and some unknown kids at that. If you want to make your way to Mark chapter 10 in your Bible, a very familiar story. In fact, it is a story that I told on this Sunday last year. But I want to look at it from a whole different perspective. We looked at it from Jesus' point of view and the disciples' point of view. I want to look at it from the kids' point of view today. And there's plenty more in this text to be brought out and for us to understand. And if you'll take your eyes down to verse 13, we're going to read this very familiar account. Appreciate it. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to read along with us as we hear it read. Then they brought little children to him. They might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid hands on them, and blessed them. What a great thing. And I almost want to start with this. The reality is that there's some things we need to kind of power through in this passage. But I wanted to get your mind going. I want to tap into your imagination if I can. And you just think the answer, okay? And here's the question. If you could go back and relive your childhood, would you? I can see several of you just went beyond the thinking and went to head nodding or shaking. I noticed that very quickly. There's some of us that probably would be, it was a joyous time, a good time. Many of us is like, no way, for love nor money, would I go back and do that again? And some of us would take sections of it. If I could have that section of my childhood and not relive that section of my childhood, I would do so. But you understand, it is a messy time. It's a difficult time. And more importantly, it is an essential time for us to influence the generation that comes after us with the gospel and through life in Christ. And that's what we want to think about today. And many of us, when we think about the past, we might think about some joyous times, but always sort of woven in. And I don't think any of us are immune to this. But there are some of those moments where we have the sting of disappointment. And that sting lingers far longer than the event itself. Sometimes it's just the burden of disappointment. We expect it different. We got this. But we are responsible for our time to serve our God, and we need to be forward thinking, and we do need to say yes to the next generation in any way that we can. Now, the story begins like this. And they brought little children to him that he might touch them. Well, what is that all about? Well, it would be to give them a blessing, to give them a blessing. And basically, a blessing is simply stated this way. It is a meaningful touch, a spoken word, and attaching special value to that child by picturing a special future for that child. Oftentimes in their day, it would be a rabbi, and if there was a real noted rabbi, you really wanted to get your kids to him, okay? And he would lay hands on them. It would be a word touch, a word spoken at that touch, and then something stated that was forward-leaning, something stated that was hopeful, something stated that was a promise of God. And I've spent some time this week trying to find out, is there a standard Jewish blessing language formula, and I couldn't find any. there are a few blessings like this in the Old Testament. Whether Jesus used one of those or it was common, we don't know. But it was always something for the benefit of the child, looking forward, something in their future. So it was a common thing to do. There was nothing abnormal about this. There was nothing aberrant about this in their baseline of experience. But here's where it enters into the trouble. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Kids, they're messy. Kids, they're a bother. I don't think that they were necessarily trying to be mean. I think they were thinking that there's a higher priority than Jesus laying hands on all. And there's a lot of kids, too. And some of them slobber, and some of them have other issues. And just this is the king we're talking about here. Will you get away? And then Jesus hears it, and he addresses that in the next couple verses. But I want you to think about this, that, and I don't want to say this with too much sting in it, but I, on a human level anyway, I'm afraid that sometimes the greatest obstacle for children coming to Christ is those who are followers of Christ. And it's not that we have bad intentions. It's not that we are shoving them away. It's just our awareness of what the value is in our encounters with the next generation. That needs to change. And notice Jesus, I don't know where else in Scripture you find these words. And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. And then he speaks to them. One translation translates it indignant. I mean, this got under his skin quick. He was going to address this. There was no pass. There was no talk about it later. This needed immediate attention. So out of this indignation, he says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them." You're 180 degrees out of phase here with what needs to be going on. We need to welcome them. Don't forbid them. And I don't know what you were thinking. Of course, Jesus didn't know what they were thinking. But from the human standpoint, it was like, you're not thinking correctly. You need to understand that they need to come to me, and I want them to come to me. And then he takes a teaching moment here. This is what I dealt with last year. I'm sure you all remember, so I won't repeat it. But that was humorous intended. Okay, that was not a rebuke. I'm sure I even remember it at this point. "Let the little children come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." He says, while the children are here, while we're sorting out this little mess that we've created, where you've been rebuking them and I want them to come, I want you to understand this. If you think you're going to enter the kingdom of God, if you don't receive the kingdom of God as this little child, that person will by no means enter it. So what is he getting at there? You understand, they were all about status. The Pharisees were all about status. The scribes were all about status. And sometimes, anyway, we can fall into that same trap of being all about status. You know, what it looks like, whatever. He says, these children come with no status. They come with no value. They cannot contribute anything. Whatever you perceive the kingdom to be, whatever the disciples perceive the kingdom to be, they add nothing to it. They bring no value to it. All they bring is a humble dependency on whatever they believe in. Humility, just going to this place of we have nothing to offer. Isn't that how we're saved? What do we bring to Jesus that would entice him to save us? An extremely short list, right? How about a non-existent list? We don't bring anything but our needs. And he doesn't do anything but meet all of our needs in him ultimately. So you got to have this attitude and in this reality of what it is that we do. Now, I want you to look at verse 16 because this is the bulk of what I want to share with you. And it's simply encapsulated in these words. He took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. And blessed them. Isn't that amazing reality that just he just does three actions? His words are not recorded. I wish Mark would have jotted them down for one more verse, but it's not recorded for a purpose. But think about this with me from the children's eyes, okay? Where are we going, Mom? Where are we going, Dad? We're going to go see the teacher, the one that we've been hearing about and talking about. And we're going to go and we're going to take him to you, and he's going to lay his hands on you, and he's going to speak a blessing to you, and all this excitement. Here, this child has all this excitement, all this anticipation, until you run into 12 guys blocking the path. It goes from disappointment to a shocking rejection. Get away. You're not welcome here. You're of no value here. You have no place here. You can almost imagine that from a child's point of view. By the way, all of us adults once were children, so this should not be hard to imagine. Something you're really looking forward to, something that's exciting, something that maybe you don't completely understand, then suddenly, boom, roadblock. And then maybe over the hubbub of the crowd, depending on your age and your ability to perceive, but depending on that age, you hear this little conversation. And maybe the words that bounce off your eardrums is these words, "Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." And then suddenly the scene alters and orders, and I just kind of see the disciples, "Get out, get out, get out. What did you say, Jesus?" "Oh, okay, well, tell them to get in the row. Come on, you know, we'll go into that mode now. Line up, neat little row, one at a time. Don't want to crowd him." And away we go with the lifting up in the arms, the touch, and the blessing spoken. So out of that anticipation, possible disappointment, here's the things that they received from Jesus. Number one, they received a welcome. A welcome. Now, it says he took them up in his arms. He took them up in his arms. He welcomes them. He is expressing with the physicality of his body what is the true intent of his heart. Have you noticed? Maybe you've been a student of this. I've been a student of nonverbal communication for a while. I'm not an expert by any means. But you communicate a lot without even saying words. If you're walking up to someone and you see this posture, not very welcoming, is it? You step up to somebody and they come at you this way, spread their arms, welcome, come. It's a whole different thing. When it says took him up in his arms, that was a gesture or an activity or a movement of pulling in, welcoming. And for many of these children, and for many of us, if we can consider this, this particular action of Jesus is important. I'm going to read you a little quote. Actually, my wife just shared with me this morning. This comes out of the daily readings of My Utmost for His Highest. But here's where we enter in. Here's what we should do. We're in the position of Jesus for the children that come. Who are the people who, this is Oswald Sanders, who are the people who have influenced us the most? Certainly not the ones who thought they did, but those who did not even have the slightest idea that they were influencing us. Sometimes it's as simple as this, to go like that and say, "Here, come." That might have more influence than any other lesson taught, any other statement made, any other activity that's on the docket. You come. You come. And by the way, Jesus has open arms to you today. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've gone through, he is in the business of welcoming sinners into his presence. And if we will put our faith in his finished work on the cross to change us from being on the outside looking in to being safe in the arms of Jesus, having our sins forgiven, having his indwelling presence with us, and the future of eternal life. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, this would be a great day. It's always the right time. If you need help in understanding that, if you're watching online, you can contact us via the means you have available. We'd love to have a conversation with you and help you come to that point that you put your faith in Jesus. So this contribution was to welcome them in. And by the way, every time you approach somebody, this is just built into our thinking. We are making an evaluation based on what we see, whether it's this or whether it's this. And that determination is it safe to be close to this person, or is it not safe to be close to this person? We have that innate reaction. And when Jesus says, "Forbid them not," he opens his arms. He's saying, "This is a safe place to be. This is a warm and inviting place to be." So how do we do that? Well, friends, it's a lot more here and here than it is with our hands. It might be as simple as we need to pay attention to those little people that are running around knee-high around us, whether they're in our homes, our communities, and for those of you that are teachers or homeschool teachers or pub Christian school teachers, we salute them because the influence is undue, because of an undue proportion because of that nearness and that closeness. But also moms and dads, you know. But all of us have some way that we can welcome. It's just as simple as paying attention. It's easy to not pay attention. A week ago, it was after Sunday, the second service, I was over in the sanctuary, and my wife was talking to some folks, and I talked to some folks, and I just sat down in the front pew, and one of our little guys here, he's probably 12, 13, just comes in, plops down, and I look around and says, "Well, Pastor, how you doing?" I said, I'm doing better because you're sitting here talking to me. And I'm just thinking, it really should be the other way around. I should have, hey, come over, sit down, let's talk. But he took the initiative to do that for me. It was a special moment. We all enjoy that. Simply this, have an awareness of those around you. If you don't have kids around you, adults will do. If you have kids around you, seek them out with us. Just your attention. You're welcome. Maybe that question is all you need to do to start the ball rolling. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? And we need to have that. Now, he moves a little deeper in that, and he says, he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them. Okay? He touches them. There's something significant about, in a proper sense, of course, but the power of touch. I mean, these hands, we protect them. You know, we wash them frequently. We wear gloves if we're doing something dangerous. We protect them and we keep them semi-sanitary as much as you can do in a world full of germs. But we don't touch things that we don't intend to touch things usually. An intentional touch says, you're in my space. You're in my attention. You are in my sphere of my heart's attitude. Now, I don't know if it was a touch on the shoulders, a touch on the head, or what, but that touch from him was meaningful. Now, obviously, it's Jesus we're talking about. We understand that. But that touch is to express closeness, interest, love, and that you have at this moment my undivided attention. Now, September 18th, I could have saved this message for September 18th. It would have fit there too. But we're having our baby dedication. Some of you, we invite you to participate in that. We all participate in that, even if it's not our children that's being dedicated. And it comes from this tradition we see in the Bible. It's maybe not quite the same thing, but it's that we speak, we touch, we affirm, and we state our desires spiritually for those children and life going forward. So it's sort of that. Now, I want you to understand this, because that seems so simple. Up in the arms, a touch. But understand this, as I read for you a moment ago from that reading, sometimes we don't even know we're having influence. I want to bring just some words up and say this to you. Your greatest contribution may not be what you do, but those that you bless in life. And in that blessing, I don't mean you have to have a formal ceremony. Just you give attention, you give heart, you give yourself to that person. I was thinking about this, and what led me to write that statement you see in front of you is simply this, that because time goes forward and we have received the faith from the generation before us, it's our time to be serving God, we pass that on to the generation that will outlive us. Sometimes our greatest achievement, our greatest contribution is not something we're doing right now. It might be that simple 10 seconds that you spend with a little one that's going to alter their viewpoint and direct them into the things of the Lord. In fact, what we may be doing now may not be all that significant, except the significance of transferring our faith on. So I want us to be conscious of that. I want us to do that. Now, we've covered two things, all right? Welcome, that's an attitude. To lay hands on, that's purposeful, directed attention. And then it says this, and bless them. He spoke something to them. And that's the third word I want to get into your thinking, and simply this, that he, through words, speaks. You know, there's an old saying, maybe you learned it, I know I was taught it as a child, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is somebody the only one that could quote that little bit of verse? It's one of the biggest lies that's ever been told in human history. There's sometimes I'd rather someone smack me than the sting of words I've heard. Words can give life, and words can destroy life. Words can encourage, words can discourage. Words can be instructive, words can be just a repetition of ignorance. Words can draw us together, words can push us apart. We've all experienced all of that, and I could just keep going in that, you know, either-or thing for a long time. But the words we speak are important. That's one of the reasons why after this service, it's going to be a little different, okay? We're not all going to rush out those doors in the back. We want you to make a trip past this stage and pick up one of these little cards. I went ahead and got mine because I just wanted to have it in hand. And I'm now committed to praying for this young lady for this next year. what I do is I just stick it in my Bible, and then when my Bible gets opened, it's that reminder to stop and pray. Maybe you could add them to a prayer list or whatever. But in this case, words spoken on this person's behalf to God. But also we need to speak words to that person as well. What do you think would be the result? And I know some people do this, some people don't. We give you leeway with how you handle this whole say yes thing. But to go to that child and say, you know what? I've been praying for you. I am praying for you. And I make a commitment to continue praying for you. Make a difference? Maybe our greatest contribution is not what we're doing, but that one that we bless that will go after us for a long period of time. So what are some of the things we need to say? How do we say it? It is not told us in Scripture what Jesus said when he lays his hand on each one and blesses them. Was it unique to each child? Was it the same thing over and over again? I don't know. But I want to point you in the right direction where you can get some words. Why don't you take the words of Jesus that we do have and pass them on to the next generation? Your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, those of you who work in children's ministry that way. And maybe you say, none of that applies to me. We'll still get a card and pray. But you can speak to them. What are some words of Jesus that you can give to them? How about what's recorded over in the end of Hebrews where it says, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then explain to that child. That means wherever you are, when it's scary, when it's dark, when it's hard, when it's easy, Jesus is going to be with you. We could talk about his love. Take some words of love. Maybe go back to John 3:16 and talk about, for God so loved the world. And that means you. Maybe it's words of instruction about forgiveness, about service, about doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. You have plenty of material in the book to use his words to bless those that are around you. I don't want to give you too many examples because I want you to get your Bible open and hunt some up for yourself, okay? This is not going to be, there's this thing out there that you can get. I've never tried one, but you can order a meal kit. And then this box is all the stuff to make whatever meal you bought. So all the ingredients, all the spices, all the stuff is in the box, okay? Now, you can get takeout where it's already made, or you can get the meal kit and make it yourself. Friends, just get out your meal kit and find all the ingredients, and you pass them on to the next generation. And some of you do that so wonderfully. I see you with the kids here at church. I see you interacting with the little people around. And simply to you, I say, keep going. Keep serving. Keep leaning forward. Because your greatest contribution may not be what you do, but who you bless. Now, while that is on the screen, let me remind you of this. The world's point of view, it always matters what you do. What you do is of the highest import. It's the primary thing. It's in the priority position that what I do. Because our sense of who we are comes from what we do. How many conversations we start, hi, how are you? And it doesn't take long. Well, what do you do? What do you do? Well, this is my occupation, this is my training, this is my business, this is my job, this is whatever. Well, those are things that need done. And God bless you for doing them. But we also have the opportunity to influence people to be moving in the right direction and be open to the Savior. So, I want you to pick up your card, I want you to pray, and I want you and I to practice this three-part, very simple thing. When you're around, when you have the opportunity, is to welcome them, that individual touch, and then speak words, and if you need the words, pick some that Jesus has already spoken and use them for his glory. Now, I wonder about us. We talked about maybe imagining going back to our childhood. You can't do that except in a flight of imagination. Many of us wouldn't do that anyway because of some of the things that are back there. But can you roll back in your mind of someone who had influence in your life? Someone that helped you along, that helped you through a rough spot? And more importantly, if there's somewhere in your memory banks of someone who influenced you for the gospel, that someone brought you to him. I'm so thankful that when I was 11 years old, I didn't know much. I had a drug problem in those days, which meant mom and dad drug us to church every Sunday, the doors were open, right? So I grew up in church, had that as a benefit, and I don't take that lightly. But there were people there who shared enough of the gospel that I knew this. This is all I knew. I needed forgiveness, and Jesus was the one who could do it. That's about the sum total of my understanding. And I came to the point where I believe at that point in my life, I truly trusted in him and was saved. Now, my life didn't suddenly change dramatically, but I'm thankful for this lifetime that we have together of being influencers in other people's lives. So I want you to think with me about that person of influence. And remember this, it is now your time. It is now my time. It is now our time for us to be that influencer in someone else's life. Are you ready to do it? Are you ready to say yes? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand and all that sort of thing. But in your heart, are you ready to say yes? And I want to encourage you, as the last song is being sung, you don't even have to wait till they say dismissed. You just come on up and pick up one of these cards and make it your prayer concern. Because there's a generation ahead of us that's waiting for us to welcome, to touch, and to bless. And remember this, your greatest contribution may not be what you do, but that blessing that goes beyond us into the next generation.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.